Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we look at Psalm 5, covering all 12 verses in this one-part, 30-minute message. Psalm 5. Psalm 5. I got the wrong text there. But we're going to read a few verses, and what we're going to do is I'm going to read the odd, and you read the even. Okay? We're going to have responsive reading out of this. I'll read the odd. Everyone, jump in on the even. To the chief musician upon Nehiloth, a psalm of David, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him with a shield. Now, Psalm 5 demonstrates personal prayer as it was meant to be. How many of you noticed that that wasn't a very politically correct prayer? Amen? Get up and pray that in Congress. Amen. How many of you feel like when you approach your dad and you just talk to your father about anything, that you have to be formal, you know, and walk in and be announced and, you know, and sit down and speak to him like you're talking in front of a crowd? And yet that's how most people pray. And God expects respect, but that doesn't mean that's not the same thing as formality. Now, in other words, I despise this stuff where people are like, oh yeah, daddy, you know, yo daddy. You know, they talk about God like that. And Jesus is my homeboy. How many of you heard that one?
Yeah.
That's blasphemous. Because he deserves respect. But that doesn't mean, again, that you go into formalities. He starts out, he says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. And, you know, Mariah's here, so I'll make use of her. She's my daughter. I'm the father. And a lot of times Mariah would talk to me. Now, not for the same reason that you would say this to God, but she would say to me, she'd say, Dad. And I'd be, mm-hmm. She'd say, are you listening?
Right.
What? Yeah. Because I wasn't. Okay? Now, God isn't scatterbrained like me, or just doesn't, you know, men don't listen. I mean, we have a hard time listening. I mean, we do. Especially if we're doing anything else. Well, so there's nothing wrong with approaching God like you would your father or your husband, ladies. There's nothing wrong with approaching him like that because he understands you're human. Did you realize that? God knows you're human. So, you know, trying to act like you're not is just fake, and God doesn't like fake. Amen?
Amen.
And so it seems like, why would you have to say, well, Lord, hear my prayer? He doesn't have to hear that. But yet he knows you're human, you deal with humans, so when you approach him like this, He understands. You're human. And when you approach Him, you throw yourself on the mercy of the court. Amen?
Amen.
Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto Thee will I pray. In other words, as a Christian in this dispensation, I pray in Jesus' name. I had somebody actually write me and say that I shouldn't say the words in Jesus' name. As a Christian, I am approaching God in Jesus' name. And I say, I hate to use some Greek terminology here, but baloney. When you're praying, I think you need to speak the covenant name. And the testament that we are under is Jesus. And so when we speak the name of Jesus, we then have access to the Father. Now, God knows whether you're talking to Him in the name of His Son or the Mormon Jesus. God knows whether you're talking to Him in the name of His Son or the New Age Jesus. So He knows whether you're approaching Him by the blood of His Son, the God of creation who came as a man to die for your sins. And if you approach Him in that manner, you have access. You have access. Now, if Mariah comes up to me and says, Dad, and I'm listening, and I say, yeah, we talk. But if I've had this happen. I was standing in the store one day, and some kid came up and took me by the hand. And I looked down, and he says, can we go home? And I said, I don't think you should go home with me. And he looked up at me like, and around his dad comes, oh, come here. I'm sorry. He thought, you know, I said, but you know what? If you are not a born again, blood bought Christian and you call on God, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
He's not your father.
Amen. Yeah.
We are not all the children of God. Brother Mike Hammond on Facebook does a chalk thing, you know, chalk drawing, like Ruckman, and we saw Sam Gipp do one last week. I didn't even know he did them. Bill Haig does them. We have Brother John comes with his prepped and ready, and then he turns on the light, you know, that kind of thing. And he said he went to a Baptist church, and he was up there preaching the gospel. And a lady speaks up in the church and she says, because he says, you must be born again. If you want to be a child of God, you need to believe on Jesus. And he's preaching the gospel. And she says, we're all children of God. Not only is that not true, but that tells me she isn't. Because God's children are just like us when it comes to our, we know who our family is. I know who my family is.
Amen.
And that goes not only blood relatives and by marriage, but that goes for in the spirit realm. It takes me just a few seconds talking to somebody for I know my spirit, I believe there's a discernment that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit.
Amen.
When we're in the presence of other Christians.
Amen.
And I'm sitting here talking to somebody who doesn't know the right Jesus, doesn't preach the right gospel. I'm not in the midst of family. So, David says, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. That's who you're talking to. So how do you start your day? He says, read that with me. This is how you start your day. Read it. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. That's how you ought to start your day. Amen? Don't start your day by turning on one of these stupid talk shows where they tell you what's going on in Hollywood, who's sleeping with who and all that stuff, and turning on crappy music and not having your mind on the things of God. You ought to start your day. Start right up. Now, I'm not telling you that you're a bad Christian if you don't immediately pray when you wake up, because I don't know about you, but my brain's not functioning, even though I'm up moving around.
Yeah.
It takes me a few minutes. And then I realize, I'm like, oh, I'm awake. So I'm usually brushing my teeth or something, and I'm like, well, good morning, Lord. I'm already up moving around before I'm... And that's the way... But when you become conscious of the fact that you're awake, you ought to start talking to your Father right then. And, you know, we have an intimacy that's comparable in a spiritual way to our intimacy with a spouse. And I love the fact that my wife, when she gets up, after she tries to tiptoe around not wake me up all morning, and she didn't really, when it's time for her to leave, she comes in and gives me a kiss. And there's been a couple of times where she did that, but I didn't wake up. And then maybe a few minutes later when I woke up, I'm like, is she gone? I didn't get my kiss. I did. I was like, hey, what's up? Are you gone? I don't remember you kissing me. Hello? So why start the day this way? Because God does not bless your godless days. How many of you hit around 10, 11 o'clock in the morning and you realize, you know, I pretty much left God out of my day? No wonder it stinks. Amen. Mondays. Everybody likes this. It's this superstitious thing about Mondays just are always bad. No, I know why my Mondays were bad. For some reason, Mondays was the worst day. I would get up and have a totally godless morning and expect God to bless me. And it just don't work that way. It's not like God's up there cursing you and making bad things happen. He just stands back. When you tell God not to come around, He doesn't come around, folks. If you don't invite God into your life, He's not going to come around. There are a lot of people shaking their fists at God saying, why did you allow this to happen to me? And God's like, excuse me, was I invited?
Right.
School shootings. Where were you, God? Oh, you kicked me out of there in the 60s. You don't remember that? Amen. A bunch of spoiled brats who think that God should reward godlessness. Ain't going to happen. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Amen. Neither shall evil dwell with thee. You're going to go through your day with impure thoughts, bitterness, anger, and all this stuff. Don't expect God to be blessing you. Ain't going to happen. And if you live your life like that. By the way, I know people who profess to be Christian, and even one of the shocks of my life, I was just a Christian for a short while, and I went down and got a job at this place that was, it turned out to be kind of a glorified telemarketing thing. But it sounded good, and I was kind of excited about it. We was in this building, went up a few floors, and there's professional-looking people and everything. And they started the day joining in a circle in prayer. Ooh. And I thought, this is great. This has got to be of God. You know. So we hold hands, and the guy prays. And it bothered me that he didn't really mention Jesus. He just kind of prayed this prayer to God. But I thought, well, you know, that's better than anywhere else I worked, which... you start the day off with cussing and all that sort of thing. Well, after we prayed, we all went to our stations and started doing our thing. And suddenly, it turned into Sodom and Gomorrah in that place. The language, foul, jokes, sexual. It was nasty. It was disgusting. I'm like, what in the world happened here? Well, through the years, I found out that's what a lot of people consider religion. That's the way a lot of people live. You can go on Facebook and find people who post something about Jesus, and the next post is astrology. One post is about Jesus, and the next is nudity. One post is about the Lord, and the next one has F-U in it. Yeah. It's a deceptive spirit. And they think that God is still going to bless them because they mention Him every once in a while. He will not have any pleasure in wickedness. He will not have evil dwelling with Him. And that's why you can't get to heaven without being saved and having your sins washed by the blood of the Lamb. Because God won't let you in. God will not allow sin into heaven because what? It wouldn't be heaven then. It would be New York City. Now this next verse presents a God. I want you to pay very close attention right now, and you all have been very good so far. This next verse presents a God that modern Americans reject. Read it. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Stare at that long and hard. It says what it says. Now, I believe you and I should love the sinner and hate the sin. Because you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. But people who try to tell you that God loves the sinner and hates the sin are only telling you a half-truth. God loves all sinners enough that He came in the person of Jesus Christ to die so that they could be saved. But those who reject Jesus and persist in their wickedness, God hates them. And I'm not saying it. That says it right there. And that's a God that American Christians reject out of hand. And I've had people tell me that. They say, well, that's not the God I worship. Well, then your God's Lucifer.
That's right.
God is holy. He doesn't have to love sinners. Do you understand that?
Amen. That's right.
This idea that you can make God conform to your opinions has to be defeated in your mind and heart.
Amen.
He is not up. It is not up to you to tell God who He has to be and who He has to love and who He can't hate.
Amen. That's right.
And what the world needs to understand is what I just said. They think God loves them no matter what. That's a lie.
That's correct.
God has loved all of us enough to provide for our salvation. But if you persist in wickedness, I got news. We're not going to run all the references. But you know what God's going to do to you? If you reject the blood of His Son and you persist in wickedness, He's going to laugh in your face when He drops you into a lake of fire.
Amen.
That is Proverbs chapter 1, and that is Revelation chapter 20 through 22.
Amen.
If that's not your God, you worship a devil.
That's right.
Because only a devil can love wicked.
Amen. That's correct.
And America's God is a devil. The God of Congress is a devil. The God that they worship is a devil. That's why they can have a Jesuit as the congressional chaplain, because he's a devil worshiper and they worship the same devil. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Read it again. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. And if you're right with God, you love that God and you're going to spend eternity praising Him.
Amen.
Now, I want to show you this. Proverbs 16 lists seven things that God hates. The last two. Look at this. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven, are an abomination unto Him. Look at the last two in the list in verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Those are people He's talking about. He's not loving the sinner and hating the sin. He's hating the sinner. Why? Because they have rejected His offer of salvation and they persist in their wickedness.
Correct.
And folks, if these fake preachers would stop preaching their opinion and start preaching this, America might wake up to the fact that they're in trouble with God.
Yes, sir.
But it doesn't sell tickets to the Joel Osteen gathering, so he doesn't preach it.
That's right.
That's right.
It won't sell purpose-driven books with Rick Warren. It won't help T.D. Jakes keep all the queers in his church so he doesn't preach it. People love the sinner, hate the sin. God is not subject to Christian cliches. I don't care if you can make T-shirts and bumper stickers and hats out of it. That doesn't make it true. Read verse 6. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Boy, doesn't that just look like Planned Parenthood right there? Lies. Leasing. It's lies. Speaking leasing. Lies. Bloody and deceitful. Boy, if that ain't Planned Parenthood. And every stinking politician that supports them. Leasing. Habitual lying. Satan's crowd is marked out by the love of lies.
There you go.
They are of their father the devil. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. We're not all the children of God.
Amen.
There are some people who are a child of the devil.
That's right.
And that's the truth. But the believer responds in faith. Look at verse 7. Read that. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Let me tell you something. God has not given you the spirit of fear. That verse is abused. It is taken out of context. If you read that verse, it is in the context of you not fearing man. It's about you not fearing going out and preaching the truth. God has not given you the spirit of fear to go out and tell the truth to the wicked. Amen.
Amen.
So if you fear doing that, you're not filled with the Spirit of God.
That's right. Amen.
And let me tell you something. Don't get frustrated. If you start to go out and preach the truth and preach the gospel, and you want to go out in the streets, you want to hand out tracts, and you feel fear, hey, join the club. Because most of us, if we're honest, we walk around in the flesh.
Yeah.
And so what do you got to do? Turn around and run home and cry? Get in the corner, curl up in the fetal position and suck your thumb. Amen? That's not what you do. What you do is admit to God. He already knows it. Lord, I'm fearful because I haven't been walking in your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit right now. Give me that boldness to go and preach the gospel. And an amazing thing happens. You'll fear right up to the time you actually talk to the person. Mm-hmm. And the moment you talk to that person, something comes over you and that boldness just hits you.
Amen. Amen.
And everybody in this room who's ever tried it knows what I said right now is true.
Amen.
If you don't know it's true, it's because you never tried it.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. And in thy fear will I worship toward temple. Fear is a healthy thing when you fear God.
Amen.
It's fearing man that's a problem. We enter in the multitude of His mercy. What's that mean? It means none of us are worth anything. All of us stink to high heaven.
Amen.
All your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The only reason you enter into the presence of God is because of Jesus Christ.
Right.
If you are saved, God the Father looks down and He does not see you, so don't get the big head. He sees Jesus.
Amen.
And He says, oh, that's Jesus right there. No, you say, whoa, wait, wait. When we get glorified, the Bible says we will be as He is.
Amen.
We won't be Jesus, but we're going to look like little clones. Amen. We're going to be glorified, sinless. Amen. Read verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. When you get to victory, don't get cocky and arrogant about it. It's all because of His righteousness. When you live above sin, ooh, I've got this thing down. I am something. Smell me. No, it's His righteousness in you working out. That's what the Bible says, work out your own salvation. That's what it means. You've got His Spirit in you. Now let it show. Work it out. What I mean, think about it. The King James is so hard to understand. When someone says work out, what do you think of? That's what you think of. A workout, right? Or some of you are thinking of jazzercise or something. I don't know. Don't ask me to imitate that. But whatever it is, when you think of workout, that's what you think of. And that's the same thing with salvation. Work it out. Give it a workout. Amen? Lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of mine enemies. You can tell a lot about a person by looking at their enemies. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. You ever hate my guts? That's what that's saying. Their inward part is very wickedness. God hates their guts. Their throat is an open sepulcher. You talk about bad breath. This is spiritual bad breath. It's repulsive to God. They flatter with their tongue. Boy, do a word search on flatter through Proverbs. Flatter. That's what these preachers are, folks. They get on there, they just, from the very beginning, they just smile and they tell you everything you want to hear. Can you imagine if I came in here and that's how I, hi everybody, it's so wonderful to see you. Actually, I'm blind and can't see you, but I'm going to pretend. I'm pretending that you're all wonderful to see right now. That makes my face hurt. Botox. Just, my head's already swollen. There's something wrong with these guys that they smile when there's nothing to smile about. Smile when there's something to smile about. But there's times where smiling is just not appropriate.
That's true.
I don't go into a funeral and say, isn't it a wonderful day, folks? Isn't this a glorious day? Yes. No. People go, what is wrong with this? You know, there's times where you don't smile, folks. And when you're preaching against apostasy, you're preaching against sin, it's not time to smile. But if your preacher's always smiling, it's because he's a hireling who doesn't preach the truth. And God sees. And we should give our troubles and desire for justice over to Him and trust Him. Some of this sounds a little nasty. Destroy thou them, O God. I'm sorry, but if you haven't prayed like that, you haven't hit dirt face down like I have. There have been times where I've called out to God for, God, do something, do something. Somebody starts hurting one of your kids or grandkids, I'll guarantee you pray like that. If you lived around Muslims, you'd be praying like that.
Yes, sir.
I mean, where the Muslims are the majority.
Yes.
You better believe you'd be praying like that.
Yes, sir.
If you lived in Nazi Germany in the 30s,
yes,
early 40s, you've been praying that about Hitler and his henchmen.
Amen.
Stalin.
Amen. Russia. There are times where this kind of prayer, it comes out of the mouth of a Spirit-filled man. Spirit-filled woman. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Now what's this? Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. See, that's a justifiable prayer.
Amen.
He's just saying, let them eat their own dessert.
Yep.
For they have rebelled against thee. See, he's not praying, Lord, I don't like these people. Kill them. That's not what he's praying. He's praying, Lord, look at... I would have no problem praying this about every abortionist in the country.
Amen.
I will never pick up weapons and do anything violent against abortionists, but I would have no problem praying that. Because they have rebelled against God.
That's right.
Take care of them, God.
Amen.
And one reason why we don't pick up guns or anything is because, listen, their day's coming.
That's right.
If you pick up a gun and start shooting people, you lack faith.
That's right.
If you have faith, you know payday's coming.
Amen.
So let's close by resting in the promise of these last two verses. Read verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in the heaven. And you can have a taste of it now. You can have the attitude. And you can actually do this in practical terms here and now. Boy, you've got to be Spirit-filled and full of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Read verse 12. For Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt Thou compass him as with a shield. Remember the righteous? It's because of His righteousness.
Yes, that's right.
And He will bless you as a Christian. But listen, just being real with you, there might be some suffering ahead.
Amen.
Before you reach heaven.
Yes.
But if you remain faithful to Him, He will bless you. And we're going to have eternity in His presence. And we're going to have all this rejoicing, shouting for joy. Even the Baptists will shout. They that love Thy name will be joyful in Thee. There's some meditating verses right there. Amen.
Amen.